When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and a single spoon for you all to share. Well done, one spoon.
Yeah.
That's hygienic.
It's my turn to use the spoon.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and today we're without our butt-kicking, bonnet-wearing Gwendolyn. But have no fear, we have a guest at the table. Ooh. All the way from their seafaring adventures in flintlocks and fireballs, Robbie Bellacom is here. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi.
How's things? How's life?
Good. I am surprisingly nervous.
Oh, don't be.
Considering how many times I've recorded podcasts.
Well, do you all want to meet Robbie's character?
Yeah.
So do I. I can't wait.
Who are they going to be?
Then let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No doubts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, arriving in Medrivane, you passed a statue of Erida Wingthrop before Orin led you down side streets to reach the Knotted Strings Tavern. With Gaius claiming to be security, you jumped the queue and signed up for the Twain Tide Tea Tournament, each selecting a stamp to mark your attempts at the coming challenges. As you headed out to the first challenge, Gaius once again deceived the gathered teams by disguising himself as the tournament organizer and telling them that applications were now closed. The first challenge involved leaping from post to post on a Wingthrop-designed bridge, snagging a key and returning to unlock a spoon. Magic was allowed, but no flying and no getting wet. With support from Orin, guidance from Juna, and inspiration from Gaius, Gwendolyn leapt out, reaching the keys with ease. Removing them from the post, however, proved tricky, requiring a little assistance from both Ruana and Aggie. Enkidu teleported out only to lose his footing and immediately fall into the water. A few eldritch blasts knocked some keys free, however, and Gaius, polymorphed into an otter, swam over to collect them. Triumphantly returning, the boys were informed that, having gotten wet, their attempts were unsuccessful. Managing to cut a key free, Gwendolyn jumped back toward the bridge, only for a post to painfully crunch into her ankle. Juna's cure wounds healed the injury, but pain still lingered, and with a trophy spoon in hand, you all hobbled back to the Knotted Strings. As you travelled, you noticed a distant fire had started somewhere in town. Then, once you'd settled in with a round of beers and strawberry daiquiris, a goblin walks into a tavern. So, yeah, you've all been sitting there probably by this point for... Well, I say it's the length of a short rest, so... You've had a short rest whilst waiting in the tavern, chatting. Gwendolyn is obviously healing up, but she is downing the strawberry daiquiris as well, so she's getting a little bit drunk. When, yeah, you notice a goblin walk into the tavern. And obviously, as I said before, goblins are really quite rare in this area of the world, so it draws your attention a little bit. But Robbie, would you like to describe this goblin to us?
Yes. So, they are... I mean, if you haven't seen many goblins, you wouldn't probably know, but they are tall for a goblin, so sort of 4 foot, slightly over. So still pretty small, but sort of lanky and long-limbed for their size. They are green-skinned with long, dark green hair, which is tied up in sort of a messy bun with just bits fly away all over the place. Little pair of glasses on their nose, and they're wearing a leather apron. Over a sort of purple waistcoat and shirt sleeves, and it's all a little bit singed. There is a smell of burning hair. And they're looking a little bit shell-shocked.
As you've walked into the tavern, you're obviously, yep, a little bit shell-shocked, a little bit on edge considering what's just happened. And as you're sort of looking around for someone in the tavern to talk to, whether or not you're trying to decide whether or not you want to go and get some food or whether or not you just want to, like, sit down with a nice, friendly face, your eyes are drawn to this small crowd in the corner. There is a small gnomish woman, a half-orcish woman. There's both of them in dungarees. Similar pairs of dungarees, but, like, you'd almost say that the dungarees were exactly the same size, but for some reason super baggy on the gnomish woman and... pretty tight on the orcish woman.
I forgot that we did that.
There's a sort of a stoic looking human chap sort of drinking beer. There's a clearly slightly more flamboyant half elf with a silver mask across his face. And then probably something that is more comforting to you see sort of a shorter human guy, blonde hair, with goggles on his head and tools about himself. Oh, and he's also got... There's a mechanical teapot that looks like a goose with them as well.
We just blend right in, don't we, guys?
I was about to say that. We just walked into a pub with a walking mechanical goose.
Don't mind us.
Don't mind us, honk.
Ironically, we're quite good at stealth as a team.
Oh, yeah.
I am not.
Yeah, I don't know how aggy stealth is, actually. That's a good question.
Oh, I want to go and see the goose immediately. So everything else is just suddenly uninteresting. So I'm going to wander over to the mechanical teapot goose.
David, can you just explain the context of goblins in this world? Have we seen goblins? Has Gaius seen goblins before?
Gaius probably hasn't. So goblins are native to Orcosh. So when all of the natives of El Timpir, like sort of the mainland, were invaded by the elves, the goblins took them all in over in Orcosh and said, like, don't worry, like, we'll look after you over here. You can live in this space as well. So there is a kind of like, the goblins have a bad view of mainlanders largely, but because of like history and like trade and things with Orcosh, some have come and settled over in the area. Mostly they live over in Oathhold and Sulkosh, the city over there, just because there is a lot more trade between Orcosh in that area of the country. But yeah, it's incredibly rare for them to be in Drevain.
And just out of interest, like, would there be goblins down in the Wodenars or not a thing?
Ooh, yeah, I can imagine if there were, they probably didn't stay too long.
Okay.
They'd be more keen, like, if they were being kicked out of Drevain or Aeland, they'd be more keen in just heading back to Orcosh than they would be to, like settle in the Woden Isles. So yeah, you might have come across some, but you can almost imagine that like they wouldn't stay on the islands for too long.
Okay.
Is it likely that Juno would have met?
Yeah, we're all
going
to have to
tell
us.
Sorry, I know it's
tell
exactly
it, tell us for everyone.
Question,
yeah, just go through everyone. Yeah, please.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let you make the decision, Juno, because obviously you've travelled the world. So yeah, you would have come into contact with more different types of people. And Enkidu, I can imagine that, yeah, maybe there were some in Dram because of Oathold being closer to that side of the country. Yeah, you can imagine that maybe some of the sort of trade has come down there as well.
Okay.
But yeah, again, for the majority of Dravain, they are a rarity.
Okay, fine.
As the goblin comes up, then Guy's just going to be like having a conversation and going,
Oh, hello. What is this? This is interesting now. How does this work? Can I try opening the teapot to see if there's tea inside?
Hey, whoa.
And Kidu will just like put a hand up. Whoa, hold on there, friend.
Hands
off
sorry.
The merchandise.
Sorry. Yes. Hi. How does this work?
Well, first you introduce
yourself. Would
you like
yourself. A cup of Twaintide?
Goodness. Oh, is that what? What?
We're in a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry, would you like a strawberry daiquiri? He's buying, and she points to Guy.
What? A
strawberry daiquiri. It's sweet and icy and will get you good and drunk.
Oh, I don't think I should be drunk. That would be a bad, bad decision. Yes, sir.
Could I perception check? The gobbling friend. just see like their state of being. Are they flustered? Are they...
Oh, like an insight check.
Insight?
Insight to like get a beat on like
their
mood more than like like obviously you can see slightly singed around the edges. So
okay, cool. What's that minus? Oh, insight's wisdom, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
Oh, so that's a 14.
14. So yeah, Robbie, with a 14, how much can Enkidu read off of your immediate mood?
I mean,
and intentions.
Probably quite a lot. This is not a character that hides their feelings well. Yeah, they are flustered and... Well, they were previously flustered and confused and a bit shocked, but this is suddenly something that's interesting and everything else is suddenly irrelevant. Like, nothing else is important now because there's an interesting thing in front of them. But there was an air of sort of panic coming in that has now been forgotten.
You seem quite singed. Are you all right?
Oh, yes, eyebrows. Do I still have eyebrows?
Do they still have eyebrows?
No. The eyebrows are nearly gone.
I'm afraid you don't.
I thought I smelt something. Oh, no.
I can draw some on if you'd like them.
Would you?
Take a seat first, friend. Then you can tell us what your ordeal is.
Yes. Yeah? I probably shouldn't tell anyone.
Go on.
Yes. I should be...
Juna slides a strawberry daiquiri in front of them. And says, you tell us all about it.
I've been involved in a spot of arson.
What?
How?
I was going to say arson. It's not intentional. That's a lie. I definitely... The scale was unintended.
Sorry,
just
fire?
So we're clear here. Are you a wanted person?
Oh, no.
Like, should we be associating ourselves with you right now?
Oh dear, I hadn't considered that.
For the sake of grace, I feel like Gwen here would say, just because someone is a wanted person, it doesn't mean that they've done something wrong.
And Kitty will steeple his hands together in his fingers and he's going to cast Pass Without a Trace.
amazing.
On everyone.
So yeah, your little corner of the tavern just dims ever so slightly. And yeah, like there's this little puff. Like, and again, Robbie, like this is a very interesting thing that happens. From his armor, like these little silver lines seem to flare up and then like smoke just sort of billows around all of you. Just like pulling in the shadows around you.
Oh, now that's very interesting. Is that magical or mechanical? Or can I have a look?
Both, but maybe we can, I don't know, get out the back somehow before someone tracks you here.
Oh, tracking, they could have tracked me. I didn't think of that.
Who's they? Let's just get that straight through. Firstly, what's your name and what brings you here and who's they?
Alfie Noble. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Alfie.
Alfie, Orin.
Hi, Juna.
Oh, this is Aggie, by the way, who you seem quite interested in, he's pointing over at his mechanical teapot at this point.
Yes. Oh, what's inside?
A pearl and tea.
Both excellent things.
She's quite clever. I'll be happy to show you her. Oh, sorry. I think everyone else was introducing themselves. Sorry.
Yes.
I'll be happy to show you Aggie. Quite interesting, actually. She's quite
pleasure
neat.
To meet you, Orin, and Aggie. Pleasure.
Imagine Aggie just honks slightly.
I'm Gaius, the masked bard. You may have heard of me from tales and...
I mean, have I?
...regalias of my wonders.
Have I?
Is there something I can roll
haven't.
For that? Probably not,
ma'am. Oh, yeah. You're welcome
this
to roll
character,
a history
probably
check.
Not. I could roll... history I'm actually really good at. It's just that I feel like I should roll with disadvantage based on this character's backstory.
Go for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, even with disadvantage, that's a 13 is decent.
Oh, yeah, no, you haven't heard of this person, unfortunately. But he is looking at you with a very wry, like his eyebrow cocks above his mask to show you that he's a very intrigued but also very suspicious character towards you, and then gestures towards the final member of our party.
Enkidu.
Very nice to meet you all. Charmed, I'm sure.
And I'm Gwendolyn. Says Gwendolyn, who is definitely here.
You're Carhilda.
She's
David, that will not do. You have to give us your best Gwendolyn impression.
Yeah, my best. She's going to sound a lot like Myra.
Should I have done it like another name? Should I have had a fake name? That would have been sensible, wouldn't it?
It doesn't matter now.
I'm Frank. Yes, my name is Frank. No, it's too late, isn't it? I can't get it.
Yeah. Should we leave at the back or something?
I don't know. Is there somewhere we could go that's...
Maybe not a public place, but maybe there's some back alleys or something, or underneath the bridge.
Orin, you're good with back alleys.
Yeah, Orin. Yeah.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm just curious. Like, we're setting a bar here. This person's just approached us, and like now we have to leave all of a sudden. Like, I was enjoying our strawberry daiquiris.
If anyone's, bring them with you. If nick them, I don't care. But like, if someone's if this person just walked in with burnt clothes, you know, someone's tracking them. They're easy to spot. Someone just move somewhere that's not public, like a pub, a public house.
Leave somewhere, Alfie. This arson.
Yes. Yes.
Is it somewhere near? Is it what? Is it like?
How near is it?
We smelt burning outside.
Yeah,
there was definitely
a
not,
pair
it's
of
not
fire,
incredibly
yeah.
close. It's probably about a 15-minute run away.
Okay.
It's actually on the southern side of the river. Mm-hmm. Is where.
Yes. So there's a body of water in between. I don't think we're in danger here. Although there is a spot more arson I should be doing, so...
Sorry, okay, what? Hang
on. Is your job an arsonist?
No, this is a new thing, I'll be honest. I'm not... I mean, okay, an unintentional arson occasionally. Things tend to explode, but that is not my... It is my fault. It is definitely my fault, but...
What are you trying to do?
Nikita's loosening the grip on his short sword.
learn things, mostly.
Your truthfulness is very alarming to me. I'm just going to tell you now.
Should I be lying? Should I?
Well, just because like the modal verb should, when you said I should be doing another arson right now, that concerns me a little bit. And I think it's right that like, as our friend Enkidu says, is that we start backing away. And I don't mean we as in collectively. I mean we as in our group from you.
Yes. No, I can see how that would be sensible.
Yeah.
I'm still interested. Like, is this your job that's making things explode, or just something you like doing?
No, that's just a byproduct of not quite getting it right sometimes.
DM, can I see if anyone's looking in my direction? Can I do a perception check?
Make a perception check of the room. I love that everyone's like, oh, let's chat to Alfie. And then Kidu's like, oh, panic.
Fucking hell. Perception is... Okay, that's an 18.
An 18. There are a few looks over, mostly in that, like, obviously, Alfie's walked in looking singed, has gone over to you, and then that whole corner has now been shrouded in shadow. So there's an air of like, oh, what are they chatting about over there? But it doesn't, like, nobody seems aggressive. It's just more like people being nosy.
Okay, I might have drawn more attention to us. That's my bad. Why don't we just use it and take this outside in the less flammable, you know, arena.
What, are we in danger of, are you in danger of blowing something up now?
Oh, no, 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 not at the moment. I think all of this is quite stable, and they open the satchel that they've got, and it's just full of, like, vials of things.
Oh, that looks bad.
Put those back. Looks great.
Put those back.
Put the, okay, put those back. Shut that again.
Please.
Oh, do they look like magic or mechanical or...
Chemical, mostly.
Chemical.
sorry, Alfie, but, like, do you need our help or something? Like,
oh, are you any good at arson?
Some of us more than others, she says, looking at Orin.
Enkidu leaves.
Yeah, Enkidu walks away.
You don't, Enkidu has disappeared. You don't see him. He's left the room.
To certain ends, sure, but like, to what end do you want to commit more of this?
Well, I suppose I should explain it, otherwise it paints a very bad picture of me, doesn't it? So I did a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
I made something that I probably shouldn't have, with hindsight, which is very, very useful and quite a new development. So I made a thing, shouldn't have made it, and now it needs unmaking.
What did you make?
Yeah.
I don't think I should really be talking about this to you. But then again, I did tell you about the arson, didn't I?
Yeah. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Orin, having seen the vials earlier, is going to pull out his alchemy beginner's guidebook and just be like, maybe we can help.
Oh, are you a chemist of some form?
I'm a bit of a beginner, to be honest, in that area, but Juna's very kindly got me this book to help me learn a bit more. I made this. And he pulls out his bottled smoke that he made a few nights ago. And waves it around excitedly in front of Alfie.
Can I take it? I'm going to try and take it and look closely.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Orin will happily pass it over.
I'm going to uncork it, dip a finger in it and taste it. Oh, that's good. That works very neatly done. And nothing exploded.
Oh, thanks. No.
Wonderful.
Not a bit. Thanks.
I really want to know what you made.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I'm not so sure. And he starts like looking around for Enkidu, like, because I think he also sensed that Enkidu is on the right tracks now. And I'm like, ah.
He's backed off and is walking towards some kind of back exit, just backwards, like Homer Simpson into a hedge. Like,
yeah.
Enkidu, do a quick investigation check for an alternate exit.
17.
17? Yep. So, yeah, toward the back of the bar, there is an entrance to the stables. That then has an entrance out to another back street that you are quite happy. It seems quite clear. Like, you do a very quick sweep and come back, and you're like, yep, okay, well, that's clear enough if you need to make a dash, not through the front door.
Right. It's a nice clear back exit this way, and he jerks his thumb behind him.
But Alfie, what did you make?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so I made some friends to start with.
Is that us?
No, but I would love to make some more because my last lot turned out to not be very nice, I'll be honest.
As you're saying this, Alfie, one of them walks in.
Oh no.
Oh no.
And they look panicked. They look very panicked. They start looking around and spot you. That was a very good perception check.
Could Robbie have rolled stealth without a trace, or they're just oblivious?
It was a 19 plus all the rest.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, it was very good. So yeah, Agala comes moving over, half-elf looking panicked. What do they look like, Robbie?
So half elf, sort of slightly sort of long on the top hair, shaved on one side. I always like that hairstyle. Wearing sort of leather armors, quite dark colored, like not black, but like colors that would actually be better at camouflage. So sort of dark gray green sort of colored would actually fade into shadows because black stands out in a shadow. So good camouflage clothes and
actual camouflage. Yep.
Yeah. Without the patterns that modern camp... I'm getting carried away with the armour pattern.
Not dressed like an army soldier.
No, dressed like someone who makes a living by not being seen.
Mm.
And if anyone's got high enough passive perception, probably notices a lot of daggers and knives in sort of hidden sheaths.
Is this person to us anything to do with the hex by any chance, Baby David?
Make a perception check as they come over.
As they come over, can Guy just like stand up and go to the bar and watch from afar?
Absolutely. 15 for perception.
15. They look like possibly a criminal type, and especially having just been told you've got an arsonist sat in front of you, you can believe it. But you don't see any hex symbols on them, no tattoos. But yeah, Agala comes over.
Alfie, you're right. Gods.
Yes, I am fine.
We got worried. Obviously, sometimes you make things explode and like everything's up in flames, and we thought you got caught up in it.
No, I wasn't there.
Oh. That's good. That's really good.
A shop. Shopping.
Okay. Shopping?
Yes. For
makeup.
Makeup. Yes.
Juna holds out her disguise kit.
Sorry, everyone. But you know what's happened? You know what's happened to the workshop?
No.
It's on fire, Alfie. It was. You must have left something out and it...
No. That's terrible.
Yeah. It is.
This deception is painful.
They lean in and they just go, but did you manage to get the book out or anything?
No. Book? What book? I mean, no.
So it could still be in there, you mean?
No, it's not in there. Don't go in there. If it's on fire, you could get hurt. It won't be.
Well,
no,
I know, but if we like it's important. Like all of your work.
Yes, it's all gone.
How close am I to Robbie? Because I was trying to look out the back, and they're probably in
front
of me.
I can probably imagine that you're like halfway between the bar and the table. Like obviously you've seen somebody walk in and start talking. So it's whether or not you want to approach the table or still hang back.
How far is Gaius to me?
Oh, Gaius can be, yeah, he's within like a couple of feet. You walk over to him really easily.
Okay, I'm going to slide over to him and I'm just going to, this is famous, I'm going to nudge him.
Oh,
and
no,
just
hand signal. Here comes a hand signal.
Make it, exactly. Make it like a quacking motion with my hand and then cast Mage Hand towards Alfie's bag.
At the same time, Juna is going to cast Detect Thoughts on both of these characters, surface level.
Yeah, so the Mage Hand's going to try and just, like, gingerly flap open the bag and just, like, see what it can get.
Amazing. So the surface level that you get from Agala, this half-elf that's just walked in, is outwardly, seems very concerned for Alfie. Just inside is just like, right, so they've got the book. They've probably got it on them. Or they've hidden it somewhere. Right, okay. I'll go let the others know. Right. What's Alfie's like surface level thoughts?
Definitely not caught on. I think I'm getting away with this.
Oh, bless.
Amazing. And then Kidu, can you make a sleight of hand check with your charisma? Because of the Mage Hand.
Flipping heck. That's not great anyway. 12.
12. So yeah, you managed to get the sort of like the flap of the satchel open, but yeah, you've not like without anybody noticing, but you haven't been able to get anything out just yet.
I mean, you passed my passive perception by quite a margin.
yeah.
Oh.
So Agala's just like, well, listen, at least you're safe. So that's all that matters, really. We're going to maybe try and get in. We're going to try and put out the flames and get in. But you just stay here. You stay here and have a drink.
Yes. Strawberry daiquiris. I don't know what that is, but I'm very excited.
They're great. You'd love them. All right. But you just, with your nice friends, look after them. If you could look after them, that'd be great. You know.
Yeah, we are.
Anyway, thank you. Sorry. Thank you, everyone. Like turns and walks off.
As she walks out, could I intercept and just see if I can see it, like check any of her pockets on the off, just if she's got like anything precious?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Make a performance check.
A performance check.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
All I'm doing is walking past the David.
Well, yeah, but you're acting nonchalantly.
Okay. Oh, thank God. so that was a 19 natural. And with my performance, that's going to be a plus 4, so that'll be 23.
Woo!
23, amazing.
Yeah.
So as you sort of like walk round and like get in their path toward the door, you do bump into each other slightly. And they're just like, all right. But just enough that like you manage to get a finger into a pocket and pull out a very small note, carrying on your way, like as if like you're flustered or whatever. But they leave without noticing.
Yes.
Cool. What's that note say?
You open it up and it just says, probably at the Knotted Strings, eats there a lot.
Cool. All right. I'm just going to come back and like give it to Enkidu. Mm-hmm. She's like, this was in her packets. Her. It was a her that came through?
Yeah, Agala's a her.
Sure.
She, her.
Alfie is clutching one wrist really quite agitatedly, almost to stop it shaking.
How well is the mage hand doing?
You make another sleight of hand check.
No. That's no. A 5.
you're trying to get a good view and also trying to be as subtle as you can, but like, it just means that you keep having to like duck it down behind Alfie's chair and then like try and reach around again. It just means that like this, everybody else at the table can see this thing like popping out and not.
Aggie, get that. What's that? Oh, hang on. That's... Oh.
Sorry. Well, if you've drawn attention to it, I'll just like disappear it. Mage hand disappears.
Nice.
But yeah, by this time, Gaius has probably reached me. I've read the note. I say to him, like, are they a target? Alfie?
I don't know. It sounds like somebody wants them bad. So, I mean, like, I know we shouldn't get involved in Kidu, but like, we're not involved, right? We can just still walk away from this, right?
Yeah, we could, but we have been spotted with them, so we should watch our backs.
Okay, well then we deserve to know the full story. So should we just like take them out and just like give them a bit of a rough down in the alleyway and find out what?
Who, Alfie or the...
I mean, Alfie looks particularly, you know, easy to be persuaded.
Okay, sure. I'll take the front, you take the back.
Okay.
Cool. Kiri will slide over, just weave his way through the chairs, bring up the short sword, lay it on there. On their shoulder, I'm like, all right, outside, backwards as you go.
Oh, no.
As Enkidu does that, Juna says, easy, Enkidu, we're involved now.
Yeah, exactly. So we need answers outside. Ooh, now.
Yes.
Go back.
Have I chosen the wrong people again?
Go.
That's not the third time a charm.
To be honest, I'm not sure.
No more cryptic comments. Get outside.
Was I being cryptic? Ooh.
Alfie, we may be the wrong people, but that all depends on your next answers. Let's go now.
Oh. I think maybe, why don't you just show us the book?
I wasn't being very convincing, was I?
No.
That didn't work.
No.
I tried so hard. Yes.
A for effort.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think effort should be appreciated a bit as well.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe outside then, you think she knew? I had the book still.
I don't know if she knew, but she really does not give a petal about you, if I'm being honest.
I always thought we got on rather well.
Shall we?
Yeah, some people are good at pretending.
Oh!
Is she another alchemist?
No, not at all. Oh. That's why I worked with them, because none of them were.
Show us the book.
The book, yes.
Are we outside by this point, David?
Let's go outside.
No, you're still at the
like,
table.
Let's
still
go.
Okay, come
outside.
I still want to know what you were trying to do earlier.
And they will tell us outside the pub.
Okay, I'll bring the strawberry daiquiris.
Oh, we'll go ahead and go. And as you go to take a strawberry daiquiri, Gwendolyn's hand just comes and is like, no, I'll keep those. I'll watch the table, shall I?
Okay, Carhilda. You rest up that foot for a minute, okay?
And then I'll follow the others outside. Halfway into drinking another strawberry daiquiri.
I'm a bit worried about how many she's drinking.
It'll help with the pain.
So as soon as we're outside, I will pull out the book, which is sort of a leather-bound journal. It's full of like notes and extra things stuck in, so like it's bursting out of its bindings pretty much. It's like a wrapped string around it to keep it closed.
Yes, this is the book. This is my book, where I write things.
Wow, okay, I need to have a look in that.
Okay, undo the string and open it. It is unintelligible.
It's like it's not a language you will recognize at all. Even the alphabet's not correct, or not a known alphabet.
Ooh,
crack that code.
Orin, you're able to work your magic here.
What? Me?
Yeah, you have a special pen thing, don't you?
Oh,
he's the Alan Turing of our world.
It really is.
I mean, we can just ask, maybe.
I mean, I can translate it if you. Oh. No, I shouldn't. It's secrets. Yes, it's all secrets.
What?
But
what is it? What? I mean,
oh,
if
this is just how I write.
You can tell us.
I have a problem sometimes with my writing where I mix up. B's and P's are a problem. Sixes and nines get them confused all the time, and if you get them the wrong way round, sometimes things explode because you get the numbers wrong and the quantities are wrong. You see, so I created this instead. It's much easier to use.
Hmm. Interesting.
Wow.
So who would want this book, and for what reasons?
Oh, well, I was working with some people, and then we were working on a project, and it turns out that project wasn't very good, so I set it on fire.
What?
But now it's fine, because it doesn't exist anymore except in this book, and I think possibly there is another lab somewhere with some specimens that maybe need a bit more arson just to clean up, you know.
Why are you so keen to blow this up? What is it?
I don't know if you've come across this. It's I didn't know what it was, so it's possible that you don't. It's this substance called frosting. Have you heard of it?
Oh my goodness gracious!
Juno pulls out a little packet of frosting and says, "Yes,
okay." So
it's so funny because I was going to use frosting on you earlier and I didn't.
Guy puts his hand in his head in his hands and goes, "Oh, not again."
Maybe it's a good thing Carhilda's indoors.
Yeah, yeah.
Away from this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And Kidu's face darkens and he will step up to Alfie and says, "You are going to tell us everything about your involving with frosting."
Okay, that might take a
little
while.
Right now. The short version.
A short version.
The long version's fine as
long
well. I'm quite happy to hear the long version, yeah.
Do you know where this stuff comes from? Have
yes.
you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yes.
You know where it naturally comes from?
Well,
no.
I mean, I know it comes from the Woden Isles, but...
I'm not entirely clear on it. I know it's from there. The trouble is, that's very far away. It's not easy to get to, and you're reliant on all sorts of things. But the point is, they wanted it here. So that's what... I didn't know what it was at first. It was almost like a game. They gave me this thing and said, "Can you make more?" And I went, "Probably." And turns out, yes, I could make, not more of it precisely, but I could make a small amount into a large amount. What can you do is basically, long version or short version? What are we doing?
Long version.
Short version, please.
Just keep going.
Okay, so if you get this specific type of fungus you can grow, where if you if you sort of get...
Orin gets out a book and starts writing.
If you isolate this very specific enzyme, and what you can do is you can remove part of it. It makes it, naturally, it makes it glow in the dark, which is very exciting, but that's what we're taking out, so it's not, which is a shame. In fact, you could put it in something else. I hadn't considered that. I'm flipped to a blank page of the notebook and just start scribbling notes. So maybe, yes, in fact, you can make other things glow in the dark if we... Oh, I wonder if you could make like a goose that...
Okay,
glows.
Skip to the part where had to blow it up.
Back to the frost. The point is, you can use this enzyme to put... it's a very complicated process, but the end result means small amount of this frosting substance becomes a large amount of this frosting substance through a special type of fungus that I managed to...
Wow.
I suppose edit would be the word. So I did that.
Yep.
Not really knowing what it was for.
And you said that, you didn't really know what for. And these people, because you said these people.
Yes.
But who specifically are these people? What faction, what organization?
I didn't really know. But there were six of us. Gala was one. Six of us. And then one person that they reported. I didn't really get involved beyond that. There was one other person we reported to, and I didn't really know the name. It was like a secret club. It was very exciting, not like anything I've really been part of before, or any sort of club before. I got a bit carried away, I suppose. I got tattoos and everything. It was all very, very exciting. And
tattoos?
The hex, of course.
What tattoo have you got?
Well, it's gone now.
What?
They roll a sleeve up and there's like a chemical burn on their arm. I found out what they were doing and why they wanted it. And so I decided I didn't want to be part of the club anymore. But it isn't very good me leaving because they have my work. So I...
Yeah.
I blew it up, some of it.
Just out of curiosity, what the tattoo, what was it of?
Was it a hexagon shape?
Yes, pretty much that.
Ah.
Okay, so here's the thing, Alfie. You have become embroiled in a criminal underworld, as I'm sure you've probably inferred by now, but I think that you're the kind of person that likes to just hear it point blank. Yeah, you've got dabbled in with a crime gang, which is like the Hex, and they are very bad, very dangerous, very well connected, and it sounds, well, I don't know, from this note that I got, and I'll just gesture to you and Kido, that they seem to know that you might be here.
Oh, so I am here a lot.
Yes,
they know you eat here.
I'm a very bad cook, so I eat here a lot.
Oh, well, luckily June is a really good cook.
Are you?
Yes.
And could you teach me to cook? Yeah.
The Hex might be coming here to get you.
Oh.
Right. I've heard enough. You want to destroy the rest of your work before they get to it, don't you?
Yes, there's another location somewhere they keep, a place where they grow more of these fungus. And
Right.
Have you heard the name Lord Berrien thrown around?
Oh. Possibly. I mean, how much have I paid attention?
That's entirely up to you.
I think I've probably heard the name and have no further context.
Cool.
Well, if someone is making frosting up here, we know firsthand what they're using it for. So I'm in favour of destroying the rest of this and disrupting Berrien's plans. I don't know about you lot. What are your thoughts?
I'm in.
I mean, if we can be in and out, secret and quiet, with no endangerment to our lives, yeah, sure, I'm game for messing up the Hex's plans.
I mean, if it's taking down the Hex, you know I'm on board.
I found a new secret club. This is very exciting.
Actually, we are a bit of a secret club.
No, you're not part of our secret club.
Yeah, we're a group called the Fate Marked Five.
Oh. No, you gotta, come on, what's with the incognito, what? Buddy?
Come on.
What's our name?
That's a very
but
good
if
name.
Anyone asks, we're the Abracalads.
I mean, I wouldn't say anyone tell anyone that.
Abracalads.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm not the best at lying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have told you that.
Then we're the Abracalads.
Okay. Oh, I'm ever so confused now.
Okay, so
it doesn't
this is
matter
the deal.
Who we are. Okay, guys, go.
But the A is a star, and the S at the end
down.
Is a Z.
Okay, S.
Yeah, I would.
Gaius, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, where the hell is this place we've got to burn down?
Just put us in the way.
Yes, I... Oh, where is it? I've been there before. I think I remember. How well do I know this place? How well would I know how to get there?
Yeah, You'd know where the other locations were. Yeah.
Do you have a map I could maybe draw on?
Oh, I don't have a map, but I looked at one earlier. Hang on, I can scribble one down. Hang on. Can Orin sketch out quickly what he recalls from the map that they looked at earlier in the day of
Yeah, totally. The city? Looks something like that.
That's what Orin draws.
That's what you draw.
I will mark down any locations that I know, including my workshop, which I will mark with a little bit of fire, because it's on fire now. That's where the fire is.
Ah, I see.
Okay, and the other place is where?
So these are the other places. This one, I think, is probably the main one. Should I put this book somewhere safe? I'm a little worried if they're looking for it.
What? I mean, if you're happy to trust me, I have this. And Duna holds up her tea caddy of holding and says, it will be safe in here if you're all right with me carrying it for you.
I mean, I will get it back, won't I? I know it's ever so dangerous to keep. It's kind of important. I suppose, actually, now it's kind of all I've got.
I mean, Duna is incredibly trustworthy, if that's in doubt.
It's up to you, but I'm happy to.
I suppose that might be... Good idea, really. I suppose a lot of it's in my head. I could recreate it if needed, but it's quite a lot of well, me in here, so do look after it, won't you?
Oh, absolutely.
What's everybody's passive perception?
Oh, gosh.
14.
Oh, okay.
I think mine's like...
11.
mine's 11 as well.
8.
Minus 12, but I think Aggie's is 16. Isn't that out there?
Aggie's got constant sonar.
Yep.
Honk. 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 Honk.
Cool. Carry on. Carry on then.
Thank you. Good to know.
Pass without a trace lasts an hour, so if you need to, just like...
Alfie has never noticed anything ever.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. Hello, Crumpets. We hope you're enjoying the first main campaign episode of 2022. Going forward, we'll be releasing 2 actual play episodes per month, and we are thrilled to have the wonderful Robbie with us for January. Want more Robbie in your life? Then go check them out on Flintlocks and Fireballs, where you can follow the adventures of 4 mad voice actors and 3 would-be privateers in a Napoleonic world full of dungeons, dragons, flintlocks and fireballs. For those of you wondering why I wasn't in this episode, recording happened to fall on the same date and time I was streaming as part of the 2021 D&D celebration put on by Wizards of the Coast. Beloved friend of the show, Jeremy Cobb of 3 Black Halflings, invited me to play in a special one-shot of Outlaws and Obelisks, Slow Down, Showdown. I was delighted and a tad nervous because streaming, but I'm glad to say it was a lot of fun and turned out very, very well. So if you want to see both mine and Jeremy's faces alongside a cast of brilliant humans, head over to YouTube. You'll find the link in the show notes. Now it is my pleasure to do the first Patreon shoutouts of the year. Joining our tea enthusiasts, we have Jamil Cook-Mans and Venom Buff. Big rolls and big love to you both. We are so very grateful for your support. That's all from me for now. Time to find out what's it all about, Alfie. Sorry, couldn't resist. On with the show!
Okay, so here on the map is where we're supposed to go then.
Probably marked a few places without really mentioning what they are.
Yep, so there's a location in Mudfield. There is... The fire is in Dockside on the map, and there is another location just kind of on the border between the two, between Dockside and Mudfield. Both of those are like areas of the city on the southern shore of the river. And currently you're on the north shore in a district called... North Shore, because I'm very creative sometimes.
I've got like the music of like the Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. in my head, where it's all like tinkery, like ding 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 ding.
Yeah. And before we go, do you want to put it in, or would you rather keep it on yourself?
I was going to say, where are you putting the book in?
Oh, if you wouldn't mind holding on to it.
No, no, yeah, no, I'll put it in.
It'll be very safe in there.
There's some quite dangerous stuff in there. I mean, apart from anything else.
There's some quite dangerous stuff in that tea caddy already.
Oh, good.
It's true.
What sort of thing?
Oh, there's a battery.
A massive fire battery.
A fire?
Yeah, it's got a fire elemental.
We can
in it.
Use that to destroy the lab.
Yes, we can.
That's a good thought.
I mean, that might be quicker than my method.
What's your method?
Well, I was just mixing chemicals that I knew were a little reactive, and it started my workshop.
Oh, which ones?
Oh, so this one.
Oh, goodness sake. Can we just go?
Please, just God, go? No.
Let's go. Let's go. No more chemical mixing. People are hunting for you. We need to move.
Let's resolve the threat first, and then we can fanboy about the stuff, you know.
So these people are quite dangerous, then?
More than you can imagine.
Oh, dear.
But do not worry, because you bumped into the right people.
Okay.
Yeah, we hate them.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm not very good at hating people, I'm afraid.
It's all right. You don't have to hate them.
I don't like them, if that helps.
That's the start.
As you are making your way on, is anyone just going to quickly pop your head in, tell Gwendolyn what's happening?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I'll do that.
Cool. She seems pretty drunk. But
how many daiquiris has she drunk by the point?
I think there's probably 4 or 5 on the table.
Oh, I'm going to give her a massive mug of Twain Tide.
And she'll start drinking that instead, just to like start sobering herself up. And she's like, I'll catch up. I'll catch up. But yeah, so you all head out onto the street. How are you making your way there? Are you trying to be Stealthily, are you trying to just like blend into the crowd?
Yeah. Stealthily blending into the crowd. Maybe we keep like, I know, socially distant apart so we don't look like we're in a group. I don't know.
But I do think that Alfie should be with like close to Enkidu so that Pass Without a Trace continues.
The range is quite big, I think. So it's like,
yeah, how long does it last for?
An hour.
30 feet, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense then. That's fine then.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've all got Pass Without a Trace on us. I'll go stealthy as well, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oren will stick near Alfie.
Is anyone mentioning to Alfie they should be stealthy? Because I don't think it's occurred to them.
I think we should probably be quite stealthy, okay. Alfie.
Like, Enkidu would have probably explained that he cast the spell on us all when you sat down.
I feel like Alfie's done something like, and then like, yeah, exactly, yes, no, don't do that.
So, you know, like hug the shadows, avoid the direct eye contact with people, try and blend in with
I don't really do eye contact very well generally. Everyone's so high up.
It's true, I've always thought that.
Me too. June is 3 foot, by the way.
Oh,
beautiful, perfect, you'll be great, let's go.
Right, keep your head down, stay close to Oren.
Oh yeah, stay close to me.
In which case, can you all make stealth checks, please?
With a plus 10.
With a plus 10.
I would really like to hold Alfie's hand and give them guidance. So you've got a 1d4 to use whenever you need it.
I did not roll well, but that is still a 21.
What?
I rolled decently, it's a 23. With the plus 10.
I rolled a 5. Oh. I got a plus 6, so that's 11. And then plus 10 is 21.
I rolled terribly, and to be fair, though, I got a 19, which now I realise. Thank God for that. Pass Without a Trace, mate.
Oh, 28.
Nice.
Abracalads!
Abracalads! Oh, I can make it a plus 10. I can make it a plus 10. Whoa, I'm an abracalad. Yeah.
19 for Aggie, 35 for Oren. I rolled a natural 20.
Nice. Oh.
Stay close to Oren. Wait, where's Oren?
Yeah, that.
So, yeah, you start moving through the crowd and the city. The thing is, by this point, it's probably like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's still fairly busy. There's still a lot of people out. And not only are you trying to stick to the sides of the shops, you're like trying to avoid like bumping into anybody to like draw any attention to yourselves, but at the same time occasionally just slipping into groups of people just that you can travel along a little bit. Trying to make casual conversation, but also not too much conversation that people are gonna be listening to you. Alfie, you're deep in conversation with Oren and he just keeps not being next to you, and you don't quite understand how that's happening. What? And then he suddenly is, and then he's not again.
That's right.
Oh yes. Stealth, yes.
Yeah. Gaius.
Yes.
Can you, as obviously I'm assuming as you're all making your way through the town, you're trying to keep a beat on anyone that is watching you. Can you just make a perception check, please?
Oh, that's good. That's going to be a dirty 20.
Nice.
Yeah. You guys, as you're moving through, you're trying to, again, with Oren leading you, when he can be seen, trying to take some of those like back streets and things, trying to get the quickest way down to the river. Yeah, Gaius, you clock it pretty quickly that there is somebody following you. They're staying out of view as much as possible, but that's probably what's putting you off and making you more visible, is that you're aware that you in particular are being trailed.
Okay. Do I see where Enkidu is at this point?
Not with a 20, actually, no.
Damn.
His stealth trumps that.
Is there anyone else in the group I can see?
Aggie.
You can see Aggie. You can see Aggie. Aggie's kind of maybe like the beacon for all of you to be like knowing where it is that you're going. So like whilst you're not, you don't always have like a clear view of everybody. You've always got a clear view of Aggie.
Oh, crap. Okay, I'm going to make my way towards Aggie and just like start like pointing at my head, hoping that someone will recognise what I mean.
Guy?
Ah, okay.
That's message, sorry.
Yep, yeah. Or just someone to message me. Yeah. But yes, you've just gone.
Oh, sorry, do I see Guy? No, maybe I can't do that, David.
Make a perception check.
Sorry, for our listeners, I was tapping my head furiously.
10.
10? No, you don't.
Then I don't say that, Guy.
Oh, God, does nobody see me?
Does anyone else see Guy?
You're welcome to drop out of stealth, Guys.
I mean, we're being followed. It's not really going to do much. I will drop out of stealth.
Mm.
And
are you still tapping your head dropped out of stealth?
Yes, I am tapping
then
my head.
Then I say, Guy.
In my head?
In your head, yeah.
Okay, I'll just be like, we're being followed. We need to do a detour down an alleyway and ambush them.
All right. And Juna conveys that message into everyone else's head, one by one. Or in Enkidu Alfie, that That's order.
Can we reply to this message?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, nearest alleyway, set up a position, be ready for him.
Enkidu says go into the nearest alleyway, set up position.
Orin will ask, who is it?
It's Juna.
No, I know that, Juna.
Who's Do you recognise them?
Can I give a vague description of what I glimpsed, David?
Yeah, I'll let you just describe someone.
Anyone?
Yeah, just describe someone and that'll be what they look like.
Sure. I see a man, quite young,
slender.
He has like a very curly, like brown hair. He's got like a green tunic on.
He looks a bit like Baby David.
That's exactly who I'm describing.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, he got exactly. A mustache and a bit
has
of beard.
Has he got headphones, a microphone in front of him?
Yeah. He's got a smile that I could only describe as disarming.
A set of dice and some notes about us. How we.
So yeah, as you sort of pass that description back to Juna, and then Juna, you pass that to Alfie. Alfie, you recognise that as Hoot.
Oh,
Hoot.
Oh, I know them.
Who is Hoot?
Let's find out, shall we? As we go down this alleyway, and I will like assume that Aggie is steering us towards that. As I assume Orin has like relayed to her what we want to do.
Yeah, you're all gathering down an alleyway.
They're still being quite stealthy about it, but I'm like just going down the alleyway. Am I still being followed?
As you are moving into the alleyway, you just hear an owl, a small, like, owl type, like, woo, woo, in amongst all of the noises of the crowd and the city.
Does it sound like an owl, or does it sound like a person making an owl sound?
You can make an insight check, if you like, to the sound.
Oh, no, I roll a 4. So that's 10.
I mean, it just sounds like an owl, but also, like, time of day.
I was about to say.
It's a bit odd that maybe an owl's out, but, you know, Ruana has been an owl, so maybe Juna has somehow managed to conjure Ruana. You're not sure, but you head into the alley. So are you all, like, gathering together in the alley? In the alleyway?
Let's take up positions, crouch behind some kind of, like, barrels or wooden crates or something in doorways, just trying to stay incognito and be ready for whoever's following us to appear around the corner.
And Kudu says hide behind barrels.
Orin will attempt to help Alfie hide behind
barrel.
I don't know if this is retconning, but like while they were organising themselves, I was like slightly taking a leisurely time, so that way they were in position as I went around into the alleyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sort of, yeah, you've left it a beat before actually going down there yourself, Gaius.
Yeah.
Cool. Everyone make a new stealth check.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
Again, you've still got the plus 10 from, what do you call it?
Pass with that.
Natural trace. 20!
Yay!
Hold it up to the camera so you can see.
I'm feeling like from what we've said from everyone following Aggie is currently not attempting to be stealthy, so I'm not going to roll for Aggie because I believe everyone's following her as a bit of a beacon, so she's just around. But that's a 29 for Orin.
21 for Juna.
30 for Enkidu.
32 for Alfie. Rolled a 19.
Oh, Alfie.
You're getting good at this. You're getting good at this, Alfie.
So, yeah, the five of you suddenly blend in to this little back alley behind barrels, sort of under crates. Like, the lot of you are in easily, like, jump-outable positions, but also, like, even amongst yourselves, you're not entirely sure where the rest of your party have hidden. you know that you've all gone down there, like you've all like clocked each other getting into a position, but this has been stunning, like all of you. Like,
this will not last.
Yeah. Juna messages, great work, everyone. I mean, I can't see you, but great work.
The message just fires off into the distance somewhere.
Do they get it? Don't they get it?
My next question for you all: how long do you hide there?
Oh no.
So, does Guy come around the corner at some point? Because Guy was taking longer.
Gaius comes around, has a very quick check over his shoulder that like he's not seen at that point, jumps into a hiding position.
What does the owl do?
Do we see the owl or hear it?
No, we just heard an owl hoot. The owl hoot might have been, I mean, I can't really tell you because
do we see an owl then is the question.
From your hiding positions, you are welcome to make perception checks.
Yeah, why not.
Rubbish.
I can't.
Oh, that's a really good roll. No,
7.
Nope.
Rolled another 19, so that's 17.
Oh, that's -2. -2.
No, I see nothing. Ooh. I see the inside of my barrel.
No. And again, like, as you're all waiting there, occasionally you do just hear the same noise, but none of you can see an owl.
Yeah. Alfie. I know the person's name's Hoot.
Yeah. You know that they're very much the kind of, like, lookout type of... that's how they act in the group, is that they will, like, signal everybody else through bird calls and things.
Oh, I can hear Hoot.
Which, yeah, it's quite comforting, but it also...
Oh, dear.
Worrying, obviously.
Did they whisper that out loud in the alley?
Yeah.
Who the bloody hell is Hoot?
The person that your friend spotted. Oh, I suppose that makes sense. Are they following us? Me?
How?
They're very good at following people. That's sort of what they do.
Obviously, because they haven't showed up yet. Where are they? Can they disappear? Turn into people? Fly? What?
Oh, I don't know. Flying would be very exciting, wouldn't it?
Oh, my goodness sake. You're not helpful here.
I'm
sorry. Do we need
to
worry about this person?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Right.
Okay.
Then we're going to kill Hoot.
Oh, dear.
I don't know where Hoot is.
What does Hoot look like? What can they do?
Well, it's sort of a human-looking person in a green tunic. And
they look like Baby David.
Yes,
the legend of Baby David,
a mythical character.
Can we see anyone that looks like Baby David around?
I'm directly in front of you on a Zoom screen. No, as again from your angles and things, trying to stay hidden, you can't see anyone matching that description, like passing the end of either end of this alleyway.
Mm. What could Hoot do? Do you know?
No idea. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm not really the most sort of outdoorsy, practical type. I don't do the sort of mission stuff, whatever it is that they do.
God damn it!
Can I hear them from across the alleyway?
Yeah, I can imagine, like with the extra +10. That's what's covering this whispered conversation.
I'm gonna poke my head out of the apple barrel and just be like, "Hey guys, what if I just get out of the alleyway, keep walking, and hopefully you'll see them walk past the opening of the alleyway to keep following me, and then you can follow them."
Okay. I'll be close-ish behind you and watch your back. Okay.
I got your back too.
I'll keep together with Alfie.
It's probably a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now I've said it, I'm not feeling very reassured, guys. Oh. And Gaius reluctantly gets out of the barrel and starts, like, walking. And I'll just be like, okay, I think Aggie's got to come with me just to keep up
okay,
the rules.
Aggie, go on, Aggie.
Let's go. And then I will just, like, waddle out confidently.
Are you coming out the same way that you went in, or are you going out the other end of the alleyway?
The same way I came in.
Okay.
And we will continue to walk down the thoroughfare.
Can you make another performance check?
That's a 15.
You want Aggie to make one?
No, it's okay. For Aggie. So as you stroll off, Gaius, how far do you go before you start to get worried?
Oh, I'm going to go about probably, I'd say about 100 metres, like 200 metres. And by 200 metres, I'll be like, okay, now I really want to look behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So I will start like, and I'm still going to act like I don't want to be seen. I'm not like, I changed immediately my sort of like character to suddenly become like a lot more like, I don't want to be seen. I'm on a secret mission almost.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm still being like noticeable. So yeah, then I'll start at like 200 meters. That's when I'll start like looking around.
Okay. Yeah, make a perception check then.
Yeah, it's a natural one, guys.
Oh no,
not helpful.
You don't see anybody following you.
Oh no.
For a moment, you lose Aggie as well. But you're like, oh no.
Guys immediately freezes in the middle of a crossroads. Like, oh god.
Yeah.
Do we see anyone following him?
So as again from your like vantage point, as Gaius pops out. A few minutes later, you do see Agala walk past the end of the alleyway.
Oh, no.
But you carry on hearing that owl noise.
How far is Agala from us?
Oh, she's probably like, 20, 30 feet, like on the main thoroughfare following Gaius now.
Okay.
Gaius doesn't know, but the rest of you have seen her sort of stroll past.
I'm going to try and sneak behind Agala.
Oh, okay. Nice. As you step out, can you make two checks then?
Split the party.
I know, right?
I mean, triple splitting the party at this point.
Can you make a stealth check?
Yes.
First of all, and can you make a perception check?
All right, stealth check.
Plus 10 for you, I guess. Probably not for us anymore if you're walking away from us.
Oh, yeah.
22 for stealth.
For stealth? Again, so yeah, you slip straight out into the crowd. Nobody is paying you any attention at all. And yeah, a perception check just to see if you can spot and follow her.
Oh, nice. That's a 19.
Yeah, you just see them halfway through the crowd, and they're keeping a very close beat on Gaius. Gaius is probably, yeah, about 100 feet ahead of you, with like a gala in the middle, and then you about sort of 50 feet behind. Mm-hmm. Enough that you could rush in, but like, you know, a good distance back that they're not aware of you.
Okay, cool.
Everybody else in the alleyway, after Enkidu sort of has stepped out and wandered off, it's gotten a little bit lighter around you because the shadows have gone with him.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
And you continue to hear hooting.
I'm still hearing hoots.
Yes, I did mention there were six of us, didn't I?
Yeah. What were the others' names, just out of interest?
Oh, so there was Agala, Mirabi, Heiser, Flash, and Hoot. Oh, and me. Yes, and then we had a sort of a boss figure who was an extra person there.
Who were they, just out of interest?
I didn't have much to do them. There's someone called Malleus Cord? Cordnut, I think. Something like that.
Malleus Cordnut.
Nut, I think.
Cordnut?
Yes.
David, does that name mean anything to me?
Make a history check, please, Orin.
Natural 20. Ooh. For 25.
Yes!
20. Then I will say, yeah, you have come across that name before in connection with the Hex. They, not necessarily somebody that had worked in the Woden Isles, but somebody that you were aware of as a connection on the mainland.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Right, okay, so there's six of you.
Yes.
Usually, five.
Oh, Hex, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's a good point. Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe they have to replace you now if you're leaving them.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh. I wouldn't want to be any trouble to anyone.
Well, I think it's probably a bit late for that.
Yes,
isn't it?
Probably when I set fire to things, it was a bit late to worry about being a trouble.
Yeah. Also, I wouldn't worry about being troubled to the Hex.
They don't seem very nice.
They're not very nice, to be honest with you, Alfie.
Meanwhile, the 10th bead of sweat is dripping down Gaius's face.
As you're all sort of having this conversation from your hiding spots in the alleyway,
subtly.
Somebody from the other end of the alleyway just comes like stumbling down, like hood up, like just kind of look a little bit drunk, stumble through, pass out the other end of the alleyway.
Well, do we get any beat on what they look like other than...
You are welcome to make perception or insight checks or anything like that.
Yeah,
all of us will just bet.
All three of you. Yeah. As I can imagine, as soon as they come around the corner, the conversation stops.
I have rolled a third natural 20.
Ooh, yes!
Wow. Use them all up.
I know. I haven't rolled any for ages. Use them up. Was it perception or
perception or insight? Which up to you.
It doesn't make any difference. 22.
17.
11.
Yeah, Alfie, you don't really like. You're just like, oh, drunk person, be quiet now.
No.
Juna and Orin, though. Yeah, as this person comes through, the drunken performance of it seems a little bit too much, especially in the way they kind of like lean on a couple of crates and things as they go through. It's very clear that they're checking where you are and not just moving through the alleyway.
And do they clock us? I'm assuming they do.
With a 22, yes, they do. They do clock where you are.
Okay.
But continue moving through the alleyway.
So they've
anyway.
Come from the end that we didn't walk in, and they're walking out the end that we did walk in. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll look over at Juna and then sort of to Alfie and kind of point to the end that we haven't, the opposite end to the end that we walked in.
Yeah, Juna thumbs ups.
I would properly split the party.
Yeah. You know I don't mind that, Orin. And Kito's with Guy.
Oh no.
Okay, let's go quietly.
Oh, we going?
Yeah. Quiet though.
Quietly, yes.
Yes, okay.
Shh, yes,
right.
Quiet.
I'm trying to leave the other end of the alley. Is this a terrible idea?
As we go in the opposite direction, I'm going to message Enkidu being like, keep eyes on Guy, we're going to go and try and do this, okay?
Do what should I engage?
We're going to go and try and blow up this thing that needs blowing up. There's a guy or a gal or a them who's drunk. We can't see them because they got their hood up. And they're not really drunk. And Agala is also coming in your direction.
I am behind Agala right now. she has not noticed me. Could take her by surprise.
There's a drunk person behind you with a hood up who isn't really drunk and knows who we are.
Okay, we've been made. Probably do something about it now.
Well, yeah, we're going off to do this. See you there.
See you there. Be careful.
You too.
So the three of you sort of slowly step out of your hiding places.
This is terrible.
Start walking, like, continuing down the alleyway, out onto the other street, the sort of the main street at that side. Immediately, somebody tumbles into you.
Oh, no.
Like, going for a little jog. And it's like, oh, gosh, sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry.
Alfie, what does Flash look like?
Halfling, why not? Halfling, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
With sort of bleached white hair that is sort of slicked back and shaved on the sides. Apparently everyone is.
Everyone's got
there's a look.
There's a look,
yeah.
It's a fashionable hex member.
Did the drunk person also...
Yes, no one has all their hair.
Mullet at the top.
They had their hood up, so you couldn't tell, but yeah, definitely do, yeah.
And this is really funny for another reason that I'll explain at the end of the campaign.
The campaign?
Yeah.
So even as you're sort of apologising, Alfie, you're like, oh, it's Flash, why are they... And then you're like, oh, it's Flash, oh.
Saviour of the universe, he is all the Flash.
But, like, kind of having, like, just bumped into your whole group, it's just like, oh, gosh, sorry, no, oh, Alfie, oh, just, sorry, busy, just looking for someone, turns and carries on walking away.
Who are you looking for? We've seen...
No, busy.
Bye.
Yep, come on, Alfie.
That was Flash.
I know. Okay. Come on, just keep on walking away from them.
There's a lot of people going towards Gaius and Enkidu.
Yeah.
Should we maybe go the other way then?
I think maybe we need to double back.
Okay.
Can I turn around and see if... Is Flash still walking the way that they were walking a minute ago?
Yeah, well, walking away from the three of you with speed.
Okay, I think you're right, Juna. Yeah, let's follow Flash. Alfie, is that okay?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, come on.
I just would like to check.
Yeah.
Is everything about us that was about us before we interacted with this person?
Feel free to just pat your pockets down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just as a quick question as well, where do you keep your tea caddy normally?
Oh, I'm not telling you.
Oh, no.
In case you steal it.
Oh, I'm afraid it is already stolen. But that'd be the first thing that you notice is gone.
Yeah. I think she wears it like across, like on the side.
Mm. So yeah, as he's kind of stumbled into you and like has managed to bounce into all three of you as part of it.
Oh.
Juna, whilst the strap... is still across you. He has somehow unbuckled the actual box of the tea caddy.
Oh.
And that is no longer attached.
Oh.
Yeah, whilst he is booking it away from you, and you can see, like, the further away he gets, the faster he seems to try and, like...
Oh.
And then he shoots a look over his shoulder, sees the three of you following, and falls into a full sprint.
I'm going to cast Polymorph on him to turn him into a octopus.
Oh my god!
Oh. We need to slow this guy down.
What is happening?
What's the range on Polymorph, and what save does he need to make?
It's a wisdom save. It's 60 feet.
60 feet, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Juna coming out with the big guns.
And if that's not far enough, let me know.
No, 60 feet is enough.
Good. I got sorcery points left.
That is a 15 altogether for a wisdom save.
It's a pretty good save.
Pretty good.
Is that my spell save DC?
Yeah.
It's also 15.
So he makes it, he saves it.
Just saves.
Do I understand that something's happening enough to do something?
Yes, absolutely. so you've seen Flash suddenly run off, like Juna panic, cast a spell after them, and then just, yeah, you realise that, oh, Flash has probably got the thing.
I will pull out like a... Not a syringe. What, the pipette? That's the one that isn't got a needle on the end. Like a glass one of those that's full of sort of a dark oil, and spray that, and I'm effectively casting grease.
Nice. What's the range on grease?
60 feet.
Oh, amazing. So again, yeah.
Ah.
Beautiful.
It's a 10-foot square, so if there's anyone else around, I apologise to the...
Yeah, it is. It's a busy street. Yep.
Yep.
There's a small octopus just next door.
You squirt this out, and it sort of shoots over the head of a whole load of people, landing splat on the floor, and suddenly, like, oozes its way out. What does grease do?
So it's a dex save or fall prone.
Ooh, okay. You've got a 17 for a dex save.
I believe that is my save.
It's a high save, mate.
I know.
I have
an item that boosts it.
Mm. Oh, wow. Very good.
So, yeah, there is a brief moment where he clearly slides on his feet, but then, like, catches himself, just sort of falls into the slide, and then, like, after a few stumbles, gets out of the patch of grease. Oren, are you going to do anything as well?
I don't know what I can do that's particularly useful, other than running after him. Can I run and dash after him?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'll just try and run after and try and tackle him if I get near enough.
What's your...
Him or her or them. I don't actually know. Sorry.
I didn't give them pronouns, so... I default to them. It's terrible.
Very good default to have.
So
with your speed is 30 feet, isn't it?
My speed is 30 feet.
So with a dash, you would reach them, but then you'd only have a bonus action to do something.
Okay. That's fine. I don't think I've got anything useful to do with a bonus action, so I'll just be near them.
You rush right the way up to them. They obviously clock eyes with you, realize they have completely been made, if the spell casting wasn't obvious enough. And because now you're within range, aren't you? They are going to disengage as a bonus action. So yeah, like try and shove you back a little bit, like onto the grease. Continue running sort of just enough, not so much that you fall into the grease, but more just to stop you like hitting them as they leave. Dash around a corner and literally dash. You can hear them like sort of pelting it down another little alleyway back toward the main thoroughfare that you were on before.
Damn it, they're a rogue.
Are we in a loose initiative order?
We're in loose initiative. So basically everybody's going to be able to take an action, well, like sort of your turns, before they do. Yes, and for Gaius and Enkidu, basically you're both carrying on, I'm assuming, unless somebody lets you know.
Can we go back in time a bit? Because much has happened since we left.
Well, I mean, all of that happened very quickly, essentially. Juna letting you know, and then all of this little panic has happened within seconds of them leaving.
How far away are we from Guy and Enkidu when this kicks
By
off?
By this point, you're looking probably at, like, 200 feet, if not more.
Cool. Yeah,
quite a distance. Cool. It walking in opposite directions as well.
Mm-hmm. I think Guy would have stopped at that, like, crossroad thoroughfare where he was, like, very much in the open, like aware of like, oh, if somebody comes like is coming up to me, I can see them. Mm. But I don't know if I can see Enkidu, who's like meant to be like 100 feet away.
Yeah. I'm behind you because I'm following.
You're behind me, but I turn around looking.
Probably no, because I'm being stealthy still.
Yeah, so I can't see him.
Yeah.
So I'm just there like that, waiting.
Sure.
So
cool. So yeah, Juna, Alfie, Oren.
It's on you guys.
I'm gonna cast fly because I need to get somewhere fast and fly as fast as I can. Like normally when Juna's flown before, she's done sitting on the quarterstaff, but this time she's almost like sort of falling forwards. Amazing. As she's flying. Yeah, how near can I get?
With 60 feet, you have movement at that point. You would basically get to Oren.
Okay.
And like just around the corner, that you like can catch a glimpse of Flash running down in the alleyway.
Okay.
With your full movement,
I can't do anything other than run, so I will follow. I have no way of speeding up.
Are you gonna dash, Alfie?
Yeah.
So yeah, again, sort of you reach, you get up to that point that you're sort of neck and neck with Oren by this point.
We do really need to get that back.
Can I do
a bonus action?
A bonus action?
Yeah. This is all kind of all happening at once, so it's absolutely fine for it to be like, if you think of something, just shout it out.
Yeah, great. I want to do an attack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use one sorcery point to cast Quicken Spell and turn one action into a bonus action, but it's got to be a cantrip,
yes, that's
hasn't
right.
it? Because I've just cast flying. Stop that! White-headed person!
Oh,
white-haired person, even. And cast Word of Radiance.
Amazing.
18 to hit?
18 hits, yeah.
Then in that case, they are going to take radiant damage. 10 points of damage.
Nice. Yeah, you can see like this burst of almost like radiant like vibrations suddenly rattle around him. And a little glowing, but like it causes him to stumble, and like he winces, looks back over his shoulder, and then but still carries on down the alleyway. Orin, have you got anything?
Are we trying to take him down?
I really do need that book back.
Yes.
Okay. Can Orin then run another 30 feet towards mm-hmm. them, and then he'll pull out his blowtorch.
Subtle.
And try and fire it at them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, a 13 to hit.
13 does not hit, unfortunately. And yeah, so didn't sort of hits, collides with the spurt of flame, flies out, collides with a barrel nearby, and like there's a whole puff of like wooden shards, singed wooden shards, but it like just powers on through them.
Okay, there wasn't anything explosive in that barrel. Bother. All right, I think that's all I can do.
Cool, they are going to make just another... Dash, dash, dash. Dash as a bonus action. Dash as a regular action. Fully sprinting like down the alleyway, and they edge around the corner onto the main thoroughfare.
I hate rogues.
I did make them a halfling, though, so they've got a slightly slower speed.
Slightly slower.
Ah, yes.
Slightly.
That was good. Well done.
They have got luck, so thanks.
And you reminded him of it.
Well done. Thank you very much. And yeah, they dart around the end and are out of view.
Can we keep going after?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're back around again, right?
And again, Enkidu and Gaius, if you want to change what you're doing at any point, feel free to jump in.
Yes.
I don't think we're quiet.
No. Well, that was the sort of other thing of Word of Radiance. I was like, at least hopefully someone might hear.
Clever.
Okay. Before I do what I do, because this is dependent. This next question is dependent on what Enkidu does. Yeah. So all of that just happened, was that... Oh, gosh, in point of time, is that like a few seconds before what Gaius and I lasted? Because a lot just happened.
You all headed out. You walked off for a bit whilst they all chatted. Then Juna let you all know that they were going to be going in the opposite direction. And as soon as they stepped out onto the alleyway, this has all happened. So you are quite far away from them. And especially direction-wise, Flash had run... for want of a better word, north, whilst you're walking south.
Sure.
But ultimately, it means that, all of you are very far away from each other.
All right, so I obviously would have no idea of all that happening. Mm-hmm. Enkidu is thinking, going to protect Gaius. We've been spotted for a while now. And it's going to close the distance to Agala.
Nice.
It's going to reverse the grip on his short sword. And is... How far are they, Ishii?
I'd say, especially with Gaius having stopped, Agala would have stopped a fair distance from him, which meant that you can definitely get up to them just within your movement speed.
Okay, to close the distance, I'm going to snake my left arm up through her armpit down to the back of her neck, and the short sword reverse grip is going to go up to the front of her neck. Like, you stop right there.
Ooh, can you make a grapple check, please?
Oh no. Zero strength. I use this dice instead. Oh, 18.
Oh no, that's good. She only rolled a 13.
Yes.
So yeah, like there is like a twinge of like trying to move out of it as soon as like, yeah, you get too close, but then obviously with the knife up there as well. Stop for a moment. Just pause.
Alright, friend. We're gonna take a little walk. Is there like any alleyways?
Yeah, I can imagine that you just pull them straight into an alleyway.
Yeah, alright, come on.
Gaius? Do you want to make a very quick perception check around?
Yep. Okay, natural 15. So I do see something, which is good. Otherwise, my role within like my turn would have been like, I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah. No. You see, Enkidu grab someone and pull them into an alleyway.
Okay. And with that, I will then proceed to like leisurely, like let's go, Aggie, and then leisurely like walk to the alleyway, look around, see nobody's looking. And then join him in the alleyway.
As you look around to see if nobody's looking, you see just a drunken hooded figure that you were warned about pottering down the alleyway, down the main thoroughfare, roughly towards where you are.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is, as I see that Enkidu is like halfway down the alleyway, like restraining her, I'm going to sort of like just tuck to the immediate side and try and hide myself and Aggie, like ready to like pounce on this person as they enter into the shadow of the alleyway.
Amazing. Back to the trio at the other side of things.
Fly as far as I can to get near the person.
Yeah, are you going to dash to get there? If you just fly with your 60 feet anyway, then you would be within roughly 15 feet of them.
Can I dash when I fly?
You can, but that would obviously be an action.
I mean, I'm whizzing through all of my spell slots and sorcery points, but we really do need to get that caddy bag. So I'm going to dash as my action and then burn another sorcery point to do quicken spell again and go at them. Oh, let's do a shocking grasp if I'm near.
Let's.
You're not close enough for a shocking grasp. You need to be able to touch them.
Let's not do that then. in that case, I'll just move to 15 feet away from... Retcon! Okay. Sorry, fannying around. I'm going to fly 60 feet, and then I'm how near?
Then you're within 15 feet of them.
Within 15 feet of them. Then I'm going to just do another word of radiance, probably. Makes more sense,
nice.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, I realised you just said that you dashed.
Yeah, but I don't need to dash, and then I've got some sorcery points, because God knows what else we're going to have to deal with. Oh, dear. 15 to hit?
Does not hit, unfortunately. So yeah, like sort of obviously having been hit once by you, kind of prepared for it. Here's the sound of you, like the wind rush of you like barreling down this alleyway. And so yeah, like just ducks around the corner again to avoid you. Alfie, Orin, hanging at the other end of that alleyway. What are you doing?
How far away? I have lost track of distances.
Yeah, so you two are probably, probably about 75 feet away from them.
Oh, lovely. 90 foot range. That will do. I will get as close as I can without using an action, and then just pull a vial out of my satchel and just lob it. Which is effectively...
Ooh, what's that?
Some sort of acid. Yes. Not entirely sure. Could be one of three.
Okay, let's hope they don't have a base. Otherwise, this isn't going to go very well, is it?
Oh, do you think they might? I've already thrown it by them.
I mean, I would.
Yes, it would be sensible, surely. And whilst I'm not paying attention, that was still a 24 to hit.
Yeah!
Oh, yes. Amazing.
So that is effectively acid arrow.
Nice.
Does terrible roll. 4, 8, 9 acid damage, and then 2d4 on their turn.
Another 2d4 on their turn.
Yeah, so 4d4 immediately.
Yeah, do you want to roll that 2d4 now?
Yes.
And then, Orin, are you doing anything else?
5.
Yeah, I will do very similar to Alfie, please. So I will run 30 feet towards them, and then let's do... How are they looking?
Pretty healthy.
Pretty healthy. Cool, cool.
A little bit acid-scarred, obviously.
A bit acid-scarred, yeah. They didn't have a base on them.
Foolish.
Orin is going to go... Ooh.
Watch this.
And he's going to tune up his blowtorch a little bit. And three fire bolts of fire are going to fire out of his blowtorch towards Flash, please. This is Scorching Ray.
Nice.
So I roll a separate hit for each attack. First one is a 24 to hit.
24 does hit, yes.
The second one is a 14, but let's make that a 19 to hit.
A little flash of genius is that.
Little flash of genius there.
Ooh.
19 does hit.
Oh, I forgot I do more damage with poison and acid, I think. Not poison, it's acid.
And last one is a 17.
17 also hits.
That will be 66 and 1d8. Oh, guys, I'm rolling terrible.
It's all their natural 20s that you had.
Okay, we're rolling better. Oh, okay, 24 points of fire damage. Please.
24 points, nice.
I did an extra 5 damage of acid because I forgot that I am an alchemical savant.
Oh, nice.
So I do extra damage with acid.
So an extra 5 on top of the original acid damage.
Yes, I think it's just the once for each spell.
Then an extra 24 fire damage.
Now, it's a shame that wasn't sort of more flammable than acid.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good combo,
that would have been
it?
Really useful, wouldn't it? Maybe next time.
Oh, have you got other flammable stuff?
I have so
stuff,
much flammable stuff.
Oh, you've got that grease stuff in your pipette.
And then on their turn, Alfie, they get another 2d4 damage. How much
was
that?
Another five
damage. Amazing. Cool. Yeah. So yeah, there is clear commotion coming out of the end of this alleyway. As this man has obviously just run, this halfling has just run into a crowd, followed swiftly by acid and fireballs and like just radiant vibrations.
A flying gnome
barreling after them.
Can Orin also just shout, like, can you stop, please? We just want to talk to you.
Yes, I'd rather not do any more damage.
And from the crowd, obviously there's like a shocked surprise, like some people like moving out of the way as Flash runs around the corner. Yeah, Juno, you lose sight of them for just a moment as they sort of dash around the corner. But from the crowd's reaction, you can still tell where they are. But you don't know what else that they're doing. Assumedly, running. Enkidu, Gaius, down at your end of things.
Enkidu still has his grip on Agala. And he is just going to tuck back into the shadows. And he's just going to press the blade against her neck to remind her. And say, no funny moves. You try anything, that is your throat. I'm going to wait here for your friend. Oh, did I notice that the other hooded person was coming?
You wouldn't have done, but with Gaia sort of waiting at the end of the alleyway, mm-hmm. You probably got an idea that somebody else is maybe coming.
I would have made my intentions, like, non-verbal communication, just been, like, gesturing with my head.
All right, sure.
And Juno had let you know that, like, a drunk-looking person was,
yes,
like...
Yes, all right, yeah. So, soft retcon... I never get to use it.
Soft retcon.
You can choose or not to have it. What, you guys are laughing, so it's obviously going to stay.
Ben's gone.
So Ben's done. Enkidu will like obviously press the blade to her throat. You say, "We're going to wait here for your friend, and then you're going to tell us what we need to know, and you're going to piss off because if we see you again, I'll kill you." Nod if you understand.
Which is a very slow nod. But no other sudden movements.
Good. I'm going to wait for Gaius to appear.
Gaius, as you are waiting at the end of the alleyway,
yep. The
hooded figure kind of stumbles like along the street, kind of leans a little bit like against one of the buildings and then carries on past the end of the alleyway.
As I see that they've done that and they're going past the threshold, as I see like just before they start to like go past the point where I can reach out and get them, they hear... very delicate, very soft flute being played. And their limbs start to go a little bit heavy as I'm casting sleep on them.
Oh, sleep. Nice. Oh. Roll the hit points for that, please, because I believe it's according to their hit points, right?
Yeah, so it needs to be... the spell sends creatures into a magical slumber. Roll 5d8. The total is how many hit points of the creature this spell can affect. Okay.
Please roll 40.
So that's 27.
It does not seem to have much of an effect on them.
Bugger. Okay.
But they've carried on.
I guess that's my
action.
Walked
away, and you sort of again, you kind of style it out that you're just like, you know, playing music, and even somebody like walking past like flicks you a silver coin.
Nice. I catch you with my bonus action. Nice one.
Flicks you a silver coin, sees Enkidu down the alleyway with the knife at someone's throat, just carries on walking themselves. But no, you watch this hooded figure sort of get to the crossroads and walks away from the entire alleyway, not even like sort of looping round to get to the other side. You watch them walk in a completely opposite direction.
Okay, so the drunken person saw Enkidu with a knife or just saw an alleyway?
You don't know. They didn't seem to give away that they didn't look down the alleyway in particular. But
fine, all good. I'll just go up to Enkidu and just be like, I think we got away with it. So, shall we?
Back at the other three. The Flash has run around the corner. You've lost sight of them, but the crowd is reacting.
Fly after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Again, they're maybe like 75 feet away. So, yeah, 60 feet to get to them.
I think this time I am going to like catch right up to
them. Amazing,
I'm
going to take
like
a dash.
I'm going to take a dash.
Cool, then what are you going to do?
Use the sorcery point and I'm going to cast Shocking Grasp.
Amazing.
So I'm going to put one hand on their shoulder and cast Shocking Grasp for 18 to
18
hit.
Hits, yeah.
Yay! And that is 9 damage.
So they collapse onto the ground,
ooh!
Kind of go skidding, especially as you sort of like swooped in, like shocked them with this lightning energy. There's still a little bit of acid on them, a little bit of like fire damage, then there's electricity as well. They kind of go skidding, trip over and roll onto the floor a little bit. Still awake, but clearly really quite badly hurt, just rolls over and looks up at you with a very small smile and goes, I don't have it. And that's where we're going to end the episode.
That's all right. We're going to beat him to a pummel until we get our information.
Yeah.
As a hostage each. I also looked up what is, like, also in the caddy of ours, and it's really sad.
Yeah, we got good stuff.
Whole bunch of shit. Yeah.
We need to go back, Kate.
What else have we got in there? You've got all your herbs in there. We've got a battery in there.
There's the tea.
Oh, all the tea's in the caddy.
No, I've got some tea.
The broken forearm is in there. Oh. There's a chisel. Lots of lavender.
Oh,
bits
chisel.
Of shambling mound.
We'll get it back. We will. I need that book back.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Vicky Gaskin as Juna, and special guest Robbie Bellicom as Alfie. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Anon!
So gather your muskets, gather your spears, we'll plunder the shores of Castamere.
Come all ye sailors and scallywags, and join the crew of Flintlocks and Fireballs, a D&D podcast following a band of privateers sailing the seas of Napoleonic Chalcidia. Catch us at flintlocksandfireballs.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. GMT, or on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook at Flintlocks and Fireballs, or Twitter on @FlintlocksDND. Fair seas and natural 20s.
No kraken, storm, or spell we fear, so come and sail with us, my dear.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.